back to Ed Gaines Radio with Jim Beattie. Jim, let's first start with the Matsusaka situation. It's almost like brinkmanship because Matsusaka's people have made no response offer. So why are the Red Sox apparently coming hat in hand to California?
Well, I'm sure in Scott's mind, and you know, he said he feels his client is worth well in excess of $100 million. That's a counter offer in Scott's mind.
How's he come up with that?
Well, he's probably taken a look at, and from what I understand, the Red Sox agree that for a 26-year-old free agent pitcher with this kid's talent, that he'd be worth $100 million for 6 years. So you're taking a look at, what is that, $16, $17 million a year. And but the Red Sox feel he's worth that amount of money. However, they've already paid over him $50 million just for the chance to talk to him and would like to say that for 6 years they'll pay him the remainder of that, another $50 million for 6 years. That doesn't sit well with Scott.
What do you think is going to happen? In other words, who has the most leverage at this point? Because there are those that are saying Matsusaka really doesn't want to go back to Japan anyway.
Well, I mean, you take a look at leverage on both sides. If in the end, if nothing happens, they don't get the player signed, it hasn't cost the Red Sox anything, but they also haven't improved their pitching staff. On the other side, Matsusaka wants to come over here and pitch. They have until, I believe, tomorrow night at midnight to get it done, which means that they have to bring him back, get a physical. They could do the physical in California, but you always prefer to have your own team doctors do the physical. So all that has to take place before midnight tomorrow night. I understand they're going to negotiate all day today to try to get it done, and it's going to be a 11th hour agreement if there's an agreement at all. Matsusaka can go back and be posted again at the end of next year, but at the end of 2008 season, he's a free agent anyway. Boris may let him make the decision, but in the end, as Scott says, Matsusaka will be a major league pitcher, whether it's after the end of the 07 season or at the end of the 08 season.
I got three more questions for you, Jim Beattie. Before we get to Barry Bonds, has L.A. had the strongest offseason by taking away the best pitcher for the Giants? Have they essentially got a double hit?
Well, that certainly helps them in their division now, but one of their pitchers went to San Diego, so that has helped them as well. I think San Francisco, with their pitching, they've got to hope that some of their young arms, they invest in a lot of young arms in the draft, they've got to hope that some of their young arms can step up and take the place of a Schmidt. But there's a little bit of gamesmanship going there. L.A. has jumped out to try to do some things in re-signing Garcia Parr, make sure that he comes back. They've got an outstanding minor league system, possibly the best in baseball, so they do have some young players coming along. And when you have a guy like Schmidt to be the ace of that staff, and they have some other good starting pitchers, they actually have an excess right now, and there is talk about possibly trading Penny to help out in other areas.
Let's shift from starting pitchers to relief pitchers. You look at the Cardinals, 83 wins, but they had such outstanding relief when it mattered in the big games, and contrast that with the Diamondbacks, with the Royals. You know, the teams that are in smaller markets rarely seem to have those dominant relief pitchers. Is there any chance that they need to focus more on the closers, the guys that essentially put the ball in the hole and win the game?
Well, generally, you want to have at least a good, strong three starters. Now, what the Cardinals did is they had those good, strong three starters, but they got some help at the second half of the season in areas that they weren't counting on. In signing Jeff Weaver, who essentially was released by California, he was designated for assignment. They were just trying to get rid of him so they could bring up Weaver's younger brother. But St. Louis got Weaver, had a quality arm, had trouble winning. And Dave Duncan, who I had as a pitching coach in Seattle, is excellent with makeup and helping you to think out there as to what your game plan is. And Weaver, as a free agent this year, is still considering re-signing with the Cardinals because he, I would think, understands that Dave Duncan helped him a lot and he's going to be worth a lot to his career as a much better pitcher. The other part of that is that the Cardinals had Isringhausen as their stopper, and he got hurt in the second half of the season, and they got Adam Wainwright to come out, who had been a starter, been in the bullpen, and they said, we're going to hand it over to you. This guy grew up in the playoffs like nobody else really did. This guy had really no experience as a closer before this past year, and really only about a month of it before he got in the playoffs. He stepped up, shut down some tight games in the playoffs and the World Series, and really showed that every once in a while you got to give a young guy a shot. They were forced to do it because of injuries, and their guys came through for them.
Finally, the Barry Bonds situation, deferred money but a chance to make more. How well did San Francisco handle the situation?
Well, I think they did what they had to do. I think they got Bonds and his agent in a situation, regardless of all the posturing, there really, in my mind, there were no other teams that were in a situation that they wanted to take on Barry Bonds, regardless of how much it cost them. And the Giants were in a position, their fans understand, they have gone through all these bumps and bruises with his career over the last couple of years. If he's going to do anything historical in the next year, the Giants fans want it to be there. And I think the Giants handled it well. They let him know that we understand that you're a valuable commodity to us. I think you've got to go out there and find out on your own, which his agent did in talking to other teams, that there's not a lot of other opportunities out there for you. So come on back when you're ready to talk, and we'll talk. We won't embarrass you, which they did not do. They gave him a very generous contract, a cut from his last year, but with a chance to make more, and that's a good contract.
I think they could have probably saved a couple more $1 million if they played more hardball, so I think Barry Bonds comes out ahead in that one. But in the end, if he has a big year, maybe everybody wins. But thanks for joining us, Jim Beatty. Appreciate your homework. You've done a great job, as usual.
You bet, Nick. Always a pleasure. And I enjoyed listening on the phone to the football stuff while I was waiting to come on.
Hey, next time we're going to have you with Marv Levy and talk about the difference between your jobs as general managers. But thanks for joining us, Jim.
That'd be interesting. Thanks, Nick. Have a great day.
You bet. Moving to the NBA. One of the hot, probably the hot topic is the Allen Iverson situation with a team in Philadelphia that is in suspended animation. The color man for the 76ers is on with us. Tiny little Todd McCulloch. How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Is it distracting, sort of like with Terrell Owens, when Bill Parcells wants to talk about everything but Terrell Owens, doesn't even refer to him, and yet this is, you know, the 500-pound gorilla in the room?
Well, I think it's got to be in. I'm no longer in the locker room, but there was always trade talks, never of this magnitude. But you know, this is not a new thing. There was talks about Allen Iverson being traded this past summer, and there was some interest and some things that almost went down. I remember when I was playing, Allen Iverson was going to be involved in a trade, and Matt Geiger had a trade kicker, and he wouldn't waive it, so the deal was dead. So it's not a new thing, but obviously when a player of Allen's caliber who's played here his whole career and taken the team to the finals a few years ago and has really been established and only seen in a Sixers uniform, it's big news around the world. I mean, he's a popular athlete in China. He's a popular athlete all around the world. So it's the top story, and I don't know where he's going to end up, but it doesn't look like he'll be a Sixer for much longer.
I remember it was a tough situation being with the Jets when we were 3-13, followed by 1-15, and I wanted to finish my season with a team that could take it. I wasn't even getting on the field. In the first five games, I think I had one field goal attempt. You know, anybody that wants to win is going to be frustrated in that situation. But having the 76ers really hurt their leverage by making this so obvious that he's gone anyway, so teams can wait.
Well, I don't know. You know, it may have not. Who knows whether it was a good idea to kind of put a deadline on it, whether that deadline is a hard deadline or a soft one. I mean, there's nothing. They kind of want to get this done just because it is kind of a media circus. And from what I understand in other trades, it seems like your best offers always come at the beginning of negotiations, and then as you turn things down, then the offers are less and less generous. So, you know, I don't think there's any reason to rush. I mean, any big story seems to sometimes get bigger until something happens, or other times people just, you know, they'll check back in when something has happened. So, you know, there's a whole lot of things being written right now, and I'm just kind of waiting back and taking care of the broadcasting business until we find out what the trade is for and who we end up with, and then you can start analyzing it when something's done, rather than all the speculation when I don't think a whole lot of people have any kind of inside information in terms of what the they're thinking.
Well, we're paying you the big bucks to give your opinion. Just kidding, but seriously, people talk about the Pacers, the Kings. The owner of the Kings, Joe Malouf said that they're not worried about putting two volatile players in Ron Artest together with AI. What do you think, in your opinion, simply? It's a crystal ball, and maybe it's a murky crystal ball, but what do you think is going to be the team that could have the most motivation and benefit the most from AI?
Well, I think for a long time, you know, Allen's been able to put a lot of people in the stands here in Philadelphia, and the NBA is a business, so I think there's some teams of some of the smaller markets that have been hurting for people in the stands that may want to take a stab at them, and I know Portland's one of those smaller markets that needs people. I know Atlanta's been looking for some all-star power and for a new draw in another city. I know Boston was definitely interested this summer, and that trade nearly went through. Minnesota, I think, would love to have him, but I think their owner has come out and said that it's just financially it's going to be very difficult to make it work. There's no shortage of teams that want to add Allen Iverson to their roster. They want him to play alongside with their, you know, all-star or the star players that they've had, but they don't want to have to give those guys up. And so it's in today's market, in the free agent market, with the money guys are making, how the money has to be close to 20-25% during a trade, it's going to make it difficult to move them. I mean, but they're committed to doing that, and I'm quite sure that it will happen.
And the thing about a team like Sacramento is you've got some guys like Mike Bibby. Obviously, a team is not going to lose too much when you get a Mike Bibby back in return. You've got some guys with expiring contracts like Potapenko and Maurice Taylor and Corliss Williamson as well, who have to be, it may be a multi-team trade as well. But where's your money? If you have to make a bet right now, putting you on the spot, where's your money?
It sounds good to me. I mean, if he went to Sacramento and you get Mike Bibby in return, I mean, it sounds like... Sounds like Sacramento could be a real possibility, and really a lot of it has to do with whether teams are willing to go over the salary cap, and the Knicks are way over. Some teams refuse to go above it, and other teams don't mind doing that. So if you take on his salary, you're going to pay twice as much money in luxury tax, and some people have no problem with that. So it'll probably be a team that's willing to be over the cap. And
they can afford it.
Yeah, and I think the Maloofs are committed to spending a lot of money to things that'll their team win basketball games, and there's no question that Allen does a lot of great things on the court.
Well, that's where my money is. In our last minute here with Tom McCullough, color man for the 76ers, let's talk about comparing an Allen Iverson who's going to be and has been branded many times as volatile but also as not a team player, and I'm not so sure that's really true. It's the frustration of being part of a loser, comparing him to a Grant Hill.
Well,
here's Rick Bucher.
Grant Hill is the type of guy who essentially won the lottery, had absolutely no reason to continue working, and he did it strictly, worked his way through the type of injuries that a lot of us would never dream of trying to come back and play on the NBA level through. He did exactly that, and so for all of the success stories that you might find in the NBA, for me, a guy like Grant Hill, who has persevered simply to come back and play and contribute, not necessarily win a ring. I don't know that Orlando's going to do that.
That's Grant Hill as described by Rick Bucher. Do you think that there's a chance for AI to resurrect himself now? We just got 10 seconds.
I think definitely it's a fresh start, and he plays hard, and maybe he'll end up with a ring someday. He's obviously talented. He's been to the finals, and I think he can start fresh.
Well, Tom McCullough from the 76ers, appreciate good luck with this next week, because I'm sure it's happening soon, my friend. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Tom McCullough from the 76ers. We'll be right back on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite.